remember that God is always beside us. He can help us through these and convict us and cause us to not do them so much and not be addicted. It's either all or none sometimes, you know. The in-between isn't so bad. Okay, so I'm going to read this. Some of you will recognize it, but it's so good. A pastor of a small church would occasionally call on one gentleman to pray, and every time this one particular guy would pray, he would pray, "Oh God, thank you for this word today, and bless these people today." And then he would end with the strangest statement, "And oh Lord, prop us up on our leaning side." Now, you know, you already know what this is going to be. Every time the preacher would call on him, he'd pray, "Oh Lord, prop us up on our leaning side." Finally, the pastor pulled him aside and he said, "I love the way you pray, but I don't understand your little closing phrase. What are you talking about, prop us up on our leaning side?" He said, "Well, Pastor, I'm a farmer. I live out on the farm, and you know I live in the country. I've got an old barn, and it's been there a long time. It's been through a lot of weather and a lot of storms, and a lot of bugs have eaten at it." He said, "I got to looking at it one day when I was riding on my tractor, and I noticed that it was leaning to one side. So I thought to myself, oh my goodness, the barn is leaning, and it's a matter of time before the whole thing falls." He continued, "So you know what I did? I went and got some pine beams, and I propped it up on its leaning side." He said, "It still leans, and it probably always will. But I propped it up on its leaning side, and it's not going to fall down because I propped it up on its leaning side." And I got to thinking about that. "When I was on the tractor, Pastor, and I was riding in the field, I thought about the kind of year I've had and some of the storms I've been through and some of the people that are bugging me and eating away at my joy and eating away at my spirit. And I just got to thinking, you know, I'm still here. I'm still standing after all that stuff I've been through. The storms and the howling winds, they couldn't topple me. I'm still standing by the grace of God." He concluded, "From time to time, I find myself leaning toward my old desires, leaning toward anger, leaning toward becoming bitter or hateful at the people who are bugging me, or leaning toward going back to the old habits and the old life I used to have. And when I feel myself start leaning toward that tendency, I just remember that old barn, and I pray out loud on my tractor, 'Lord, I thank you that you're going to prop me up on my leaning side.'" So my prayer would be that God will prop us up, and we'd allow him to prop us up when we want to sin, when we want to do something that we shouldn't do, when we get angry and all these things that were mentioned, that he will prop us up on our leaning side. I really like that. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this morning, for this new year. Thank you for all the lovely people who are here this morning. And Lord, we would pray. We all have our issues. We all have things happening in our lives. But we know that you will prop us up on our leaning side, because we all have one. Thank you for this morning again, and thank you for Pastor. And I just pray that you'd bless him in his message that he gives to us today from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Progress, another year of praise, another page 574, I found one that I just really love, and it's called If My People's Hearts Are Humbled. And in 2 Chronicles, it says, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And that's where this song has come from. And this song is the same as Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, except it's different words. So let's sing that together. Wonderful song that we all know and love with the exact same words we've always sang, How Great Thou Art.
I
Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We come to you today with humble hearts and asking for your blessings this coming year. And Lord, I just thank you for those memories. I just heard my dad singing that song along with us. So it's just an emotional song, and I love it so much because it just praises you out everything we can imagine. You are so great. We just thank you for this day, and we thank you for all that you will bless us with. It's in your precious name that I pray. Amen.
Is that it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it's pleasing to know that you want to hear from us, that you have created us for a relationship, that you desire to be a part of our lives, and we don't take that for granted, Lord. We are amazed by the kind of God that you are, and we're thankful, and we're grateful for not only the fact that you want to know about our lives, but that you can intervene in miraculous ways, and we acknowledge that, and we appreciate you for that. So as we bring these prayers before you, we just pray with confidence that your will be done, and we just ask that we would be good recipients of the results of the work that you're doing in these individuals' lives that we bring before you just now. And so I pray for Phil with the drinking issue, and just ask that you might remove that from him. We know that those miracles are possible. We've heard of times when people have just stopped on a moment and just walked away. And I just pray for that, for Phil, that you might intervene in his life and just care for him in a special way, that he might see your hand at work there. And I pray for Valerie as well, that, Lord, she, like so many, need to know you, need to know that you're there, that you are not just there, but you're desirous of a relationship with her. And so would you draw her to yourself, even beginning just now, and help her to see your hand at work in her life. Would you bring somebody into her life that would minister to her in your name and introduce you to her? Thank you for Nancy with her silly prayer, Lord, this one for enjoying the pets that you've blessed her with. Help her to recognize that that's how you want to care for us, like we want to care for them, and just help us to just enjoy the very fact that there's somebody that's there looking after us. But I do pray for Sherry and the surgery that she has taking place, and just ask for healing there. I don't know what the issue is, but you do, and we just recognize that, again, you are the great physician who can heal, and we ask that for Sherry this morning. For John's sister that's experiencing dementia and weight loss, and Lord, I just ask for intervention there as well. Alice is heavy on Mary's heart, and I'm sure she's heavy on your heart as well. And Father, would you just step into her life in a way that she would too see your hand at work, and bring this healing that's necessary, and restoration even to her mind. And then we would pray for Tina and the back surgery that she's had, that you would bring healing in that instance as well. The weariness that it is as we recover from things sometimes, Lord, takes its toll, and would you just give her a lift in helping this healing process, and help her to again see your hand at work in her life. And then I will pray for Emma and Sam and the two that are experiencing COVID, even though they're young and healthy and appears as though this will be no issue. Still, we know, Lord, there's concerns, and so we ask that you would heal them and protect them from this virus that's just devastated the world as of late, Lord. And when the world sees the hopelessness of so much devastation from this virus, Lord, I just pray that you would help us as believers to experience the peace that comes from knowing that you're in control. And so I just ask that you would just set in people's hearts the fact that you are God and in control. And I would also ask, Lord, at the same time, that you are capable and able to just simply wipe this terrible disease from the earth. And so we know there's not too much that we can ask, that you are capable and able. And so we just, we acquiesce to your will, whatever that might be. But that's our desire, Lord, to see this go away. Would you just offer your mercy to us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father. I am his child, and I am not afraid. So greatly pardoned, I'll forgive my brother. The law of love I gladly will obey. I then shall live as one who's learned compassion. I've been so
anxious to get in front of you to explain to you what Tom Brady, the 10 spies, and you have in common. Do you know what that is? What is it that you and Tom Brady and the 10 spies that were sent to spy out the land of Canaan have in common? We're all human beings. We can go there. We can start with that. Yes. We're all sinners. Yeah. Yeah. See? On Sunday, December 19th, the New Orleans Saints paid a visit to Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. They were there, of course, to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here we have a matchup between a very desperate Saints team that came into that meeting with a record of 6-7. Proposing to play against the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who had a record at that time of 11-3, and they boasted arguably the best quarterback that ever played football at the helm. As the game wore on, frustration mounted. The camera panned often to Brady, often as his offensive unit went 3 and out on several occasions. They had a few first downs. But if they got a first down and a fresh set of four downs, they didn't make it past that. They only got into field goal range once, and they never got to the 20-yard line or further. Near the end of the third quarter, you see this normally congenial, telegenic, smooth, silky public persona that Tom Brady usually wears, lunging toward a defensive player that had nothing to do with the previous play to yell at him. On another occasion, we see him approaching a coach on the sideline to yell at him. And the coach is not on the field of play. He's on the other side of the line, which is why they call it the sideline. And I was saying to myself, Tom Brady, why are you talking to somebody that's not even in the game? What are you doing? When we over-focus on a problem or a dilemma or opposition to anything that we're doing, what happens is we lose perspective. We lose perspective. And something like that happened when God commanded Moses to send spies from every tribe into the land of Canaan to look at what was going on there. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 26 through 33, we'll read a little bit of the story. So he's told them to go in, and yet you would not go up. Midway through the story here, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. He wanted them to go in and take the land. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Is that why God sent them? Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. There's a standing army. There's giants in the land. And besides, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. And the Anakims were giants. The Lord, verse 30, your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night and in the cloud by day, to show you by what way you should go. I want to turn to Numbers 128 through 33. Numbers 128 through 33. However, the people who dwell in the land, the 10 spies, the 12 spies go, they see the fruit, they see the standing armies, they see the vegetation, they also see the Anakim, they see the Amorites, they see the Jebusites, they see the Hittites. However, verse 28, Numbers 13, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of the Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb, verse 30, quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. We saw, they only saw the giants. We happen to know that the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites were normal-sized people. But what they saw were just the Anaks, the giants. And from an iron casket recovered from that time, there was discovered a casket that was 13 feet long, 13 and a half feet long, by the way, and 6 feet wide. And those caskets were known to be made bigger, of course, than the people who occupied them. But the estimates, and it's a guess, is that these giants were 7 to 13 feet tall. And so that's what they saw. They only saw that. And Tom Brady, by the way, became so undone during this game that the last time he touched the ball, he threw a pass, about a 10 yards an out pass, and it's a throw he would not have made, and it resulted in an interception, and it was more a mental error than it was an execution error. His dauber was down. He became depressed. He saw and was focused on his adversity and the trouble all around him, and it affected his play. These men were told by God, I'm going to give you this land. I'm sending you, and where God guides, he provides. I'm sending you, I'm the God that provided the fire by night and the cloud by day. I'm going with you. But what did they see? What did they see? They saw the giants. Well, can't God take care of giants? Didn't he drown an army in the sea? Yes, he did. Not unlike the 10 spies, and not unlike our friend Tom, we have obstacles. We're distracted. And we have one other problem that the folks in the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy had, and we share it with them. Not so much Tom in this case. But when we focus on a problem and allow it to get bigger, we end up with a problem. We start imagining, and we end up with a problem that's bigger than the God who sent us. Remember in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it said, this son, his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So this baby that came on the scene was coming and representing God dwelling with us. And remember the last thing in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And lo, an echo of the same thing again. I am with you. Go make disciples. I am with you. And lo, until the end of the age, God is with us. But we forget that God is with us. And we have to remember. So I'm going to help you remember today in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That'd be a good way to start every morning. You're laying in bed, the alarm clock just went off, or Tom, your cat ran across your chest, or something happened that woke you up. The first thing out of your mouth that would be a good thing to come out of your mouth is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Begin the day with a blessing. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Do you know that you're born again to a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not a good luck charm in your pocket. It's a living hope. It's a hope that you possess right now, no matter how hot the furnace is of the trial you might be in today. Through the resurrection, this living hope of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable. Nobody can destroy it. The canker worm cannot take it away. Undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Now, if you read that in the middle of your problem, whatever it is, it changes your perspective. It pulls you back. If the 10 spies had said, wait a minute, and they had a little huddle on the side here, wait a minute, didn't God send us here? Yeah, I know there's giants. Yeah, I see the giants. But remember when he drowned the Egyptian soldiers in the water? We better give a good report. That's why Joshua and Caleb quieted the crowd and said, we are well able to go in, well able to go, because our God is bigger than what's in front of us. Who, verse 5, by God's power are being guarded, you are, through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. And that is tied to time. The time, referring to the last time that's being referred to in that verse, is when this mortal body takes on immortality, when you get your heaven suit. That time is coming. What do you think Johnny Erickson Tata has resolved herself to do? She's been trapped in this immovable body for 50 plus years. She paints with her mouth. What is she doing? She's holding on and rejoicing for that time that she knows is coming, when she'll be out of the prison of that immovable body and she'll be able to walk and praise and stretch her arms. She used to be an athlete. Do you not know how frustrated she was in those first several years and perhaps days and hours even now? But God has taken her and has caused her to grow through these trials. Verse 6, in this you rejoice, that is in that future glory, glorified body, though now for a little while, if necessary, or in the King James, if need be. Today's sermon is entitled, If Need Be. It's a hypothetical, need may not be. If it was affirmative, it would say, need be, yes, everybody's going to go. If need be, you're going to be taken through some trials. I don't know why God sends more dark days into some lives than other lives. If need be, though, what is the need or what is the goal? If the goal is to conform each of us to the image of Christ, so that when people look at us, they see the face of Christ coming through us. And if need be to get us there, he will put us through trials and difficulties that if we hold on to our faith and don't seek the exit door of giving into temptation, the exit door of compromise, the exit door of turning to unbelief, the exit door that the 10 spies took. Instead of believing God and taking courage and having to trust him to walk through that land with those giants, they quit. But if you hold on and let patience have her perfect work, you'll be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But if need be, and sometimes need is, so if you're in a dark day, sometimes you're in a trial that will last the rest of your life, if need be. But God's going to make his diamond, and he's not going to be surprised. When you see him, you'll be like him. And he's only going to, this is a loving Heavenly Father. So when you're in the midst of a trial, remember this if you remember nothing else. This trial came to me through the sovereignty of God, and particularly a God who loves me sent this trial. There is no such thing as a happenstance with a Christian. If you break your foot today, it's not a happenstance. If you die today, it's not a happenstance. If you find out you have a critical illness today, it's not happenstance. God is finishing you, and this is just an audition. You're going someplace. And I'm not trying to preach to you pie in the sky by and by like Reverend Ike used to. You remember him? You should forget him if you do. I'm just telling you that God loves you. But it is apropos to fix your eyes on where we're headed, because this is not our home. We're just passing through. We're just passing through. So as you begin a new year, you're going to have your three and outs. You're going to have your first down, second down, third down. It's still going to be fourth down and five. You're going to have to punt. And you're going to have maybe a series of three and outs. But you're going to pull yourself back because you're going to obey your pastor and regather your composure, your perspective in passages like this, or in another passage that says he's giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Other passages that remind you that you have what you need, but we're the kind of people that need to read it. It's the Word. We have to go back to the Word to remind ourselves of who we are. I forget. In fact, I had forgotten a lot of this before I started studying it this week. Because I'm just like you. Some of you have better memories than I do. But thank God we're all here in the room together remembering what we need to know and concentrate on. So you're going to have three and outs. But remember that the God who loves you sent them. And he's trying to make you into the image of his son. That's the goal. So this year, start with that and have less dead-end, frustrating times because you remind yourself through the Word of God of who he is and why he has put what he's put in your life. He's just trying to take you home in the shape that he expects to find you in the image of his son. Thank you, Father, for your Word. And thank you for how you bless us with it, how you minister it to us, and that you have indeed given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Help us to remember that. In the heat of the battle, sometimes we forget. We leave our pistol and our bullets and our arrows and our shields by our nightstand, and we're out there in the middle of the field with no equipment on. Forgive us for forgetting who we are and the Word that you supplied to us to remember, to recall it to ourselves, just who we are and where you're taking us and who's walking through the storm with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand as we close our service today, and I hope it's your desire to follow Jesus. If you have it, today is a good New Year's resolution to follow Jesus. We're going to sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." Father, it's our prayer this morning that each one here today has chosen to follow you. Father, as they leave this church today, Father, that they might go and serve you as a follower. Leave the world behind us, Father, and even though that the opposition is at our throats all the time, Father, that we might be strong because of it. And Father, don't let us lose perspective this morning of what you've done for us and how you loved us and gave your Son for us. Father, that you're with us each day, every step that we take. Father, you're Emmanuel. And Father, strengthen us. So in times of giants that we run against each day, Father, that we can be strong through our faith with you. And we just thank you again for always being with us. And Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. We just celebrated communion, Father, as we remembered what you've done for us, and that it may be a time of searching ourselves and in our lives that we have been forgiven for the sins that we've committed. Be with us as we go from here, and we love you and help us to walk with you this coming year. In Jesus' name we pray.